When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey! It's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled in the fifth, but they had faith in you. And you.
Utah!
What is up, everybody? Michael Gobi here, Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. We got my man
Utah
today.
Yeah, me too.
It's been a long time. Last time we did a show together, guy, it's been years. But it's well overdue. My Canadian brother in arms, my Tout Wars competitor in the 12-team head-to-head points league, which we will talk about as well. It's Frank Amorante. Welcome, my man.
What's up? Pleasure to be on the show. I got to bring the energy when I come on your show. You're one of my favorite people. Love your energy. And, you know, can't wait to talk fantasy baseball, answer these Reddit questions, trades. We're going to look at waiver wire debates, and it's going to be fun.
Yes! Lock you in, dude. You already know what the time is. Make sure you follow Frank on Twitter X at F Amorante. That's 2 M's. I, Ronte, TFJ. It's live here on your screen. If you're hearing it, you just find Frank Amorante. He's very popular on the Twitter X. So what are we calling it now? What do you call it? Twitter X, Twitter X.
It's hard to get off of Twitter when you're so used to that. Like, it sounds weird to say, oh, on X. I don't know. So I'm like many. I still call it Twitter.
Hit me up on X, dog. That's right. Oh, man. That was a stupid decision.
That's putting it mildly.
Today's show is real simple. Me and Frank are going to rap. We'll talk a little bit about our Tout Wars battle that's going on. Although I'm kind of... It's not really a battle between us. I'm in the trash heap on dumpster fire galore. And I do not blame Justin Mason. He drafted my team. So I blame myself entirely. You know, the buck stops here. Okay? And we'll see what's going on there. And we're going to dive into subreddit, the fantasy baseball subreddit, the Anything Goes thread. People ask questions there all the time, all day long. They got questions about 10-teamers, 12-teamers, points leagues, head-to-head, roto, dynasty keepers. It's a lot of fun. It's a great way to kind of learn a lot in a short amount of time. And, Frank, we're going to go on that journey together. Don't be nervous.
Not nervous. Excited. Let's do it.
All right. Don't forget to use the live chat. It's open and available to you right now as we speak. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll stop the show just to focus on your questions. You could use Frank for all he's worth and then some. Frank knows a lot about this shit. I do know that as of right now, on May 21st, as we sit here, Frank, it's been a season that has been defined by what? Is there anything that stands out to you about the Major League Baseball season to this point?
One thing that stands out to me is the umpires have been quite frustrating, you know, like missing these calls. Like, oh, it's infuriating to watch, especially if you like to dabble in MLB betting like I do. And oh,
that's
man,
right.
When you need that last strikeout and the umpire's squeezing your pitcher, you need them to stay under 1.5 walks. He's calling up a strike on a pitch a foot outside. So these umpires are driving me nuts, really. But from a fantasy baseball perspective, I think what characterizes the early stages of this season is there's been a lot of early round picks who have really disappointed, like Ronald Acuna hasn't gotten going at all. Corbin Carroll, I know some of us were off him because of the shoulder concerns, but hey, he went as high as 4 in some drafts, and he's really not delivered. So those are two that really headline the first round struggling stars right now.
Wrong! No, Frank's right. That makes a lot of sense to me. Corbin Carroll's shoulder has proven to be a problem. It's just that simple. I don't think it's any more complicated than that, Frank. I really don't.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, I'm not trying to just, hey, let's agree on everything, but when it's that simple, it's that simple. I only picked him up in the Palazzo Neo League, which is a Aru Neo League where I spent a bunch of money on him, but that's also, you have a 40-person roster which you keep forever, so in that
totally
case, I don't
different.
Regret doing that. Right.
Yeah. I have him in one early draft champions on NFBC when it was my first draft. It was in January. And then after that, I realized, damn, I got to be off Carroll in the next few drafts. Those of them, like, you know, Dave McDonald, that was really vocal, Kevin Masarejan, about Carroll's shoulder. And, you know, you got it. Everyone, we all create content. It's good to listen to others, too. Like, a lot of knowledgeable people in this space. And that's what I did with Carroll after taking him in my first draft. Just faded him outright the rest of the way.
Beautiful. Nice work. Palazzo. We're live here. Ask Frank anything. Ask me anything. Follow me on Twitter at MJ Govier. Frank is on Twitter X doing his thing, as I said before. FM Arante TFJ. And of course, you can follow all the Galaxy of Stars Palazzo style with Mike Virginia, Benjamin Chase, Robbie Baseball, Sam Wershing, and of course, Britton Allen. So make sure you look up all those guys. They're always in the description available to you 24/7. And our Discord's free. That's a lot of fun. Free on the house. Good times, noodle salad. I guess we're moving into the business time portion of the show. So as we do that, get loose. Ugh, man, it's been a long day, Frank. I don't know about you, but I've been busting my butt all day. So on the show today, as we cover a little bit of business, remember this. We're on the march to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Frank, it's hard to get to 1,000 initially in fantasy baseball-focused show. It's not easy to do, and we're trying like hell.
Tough, and you guys are doing great. Love what you guys have done with the show, and you know, I'm always an honor to be on it.
Yeah, I love hanging out with you. Last time I saw you in person was Tout Wars the year before last, and you tied one on, man. You were three sheets to the wind. It was great. I loved it.
Oh yeah. It's always a fun time at Tout Wars. We miss you this year, but always good to see faces you've interacted with online about this game we love, fantasy baseball. And hey, I always enjoy talking shop with you.
Hell yes. It's a pleasure to be here talking baseball with my main man, Frank. So we're talking about growing the YouTube, subscribe, like the video. It helps make a difference with the show. We appreciate it. Make sure you use the live chat to your advantage. We have a live chat for every episode we do. That means you have an opportunity multiple times per week to get in our minds. You can take over the show here. Just total pirate radio style. Make it happen. Don't forget, we'll do the Sunday Waiver Wire live chat show at 12 p.m. Eastern time every Sunday. Mike Virginia will be back this week hosting All as Well There. Yeah, I got the Patreon. Starts at $3. I just posted a top three buy low candidates the other day. I feel pretty good about. One of them was Hunter Brown, Frank. Am I crazy? Hunter Brown, buy low? But it's still very
important. No, you know, I like that because you could get him dirt cheap. You know, he's really struggled. We saw in that relief appearance, he struck out, what, 7? He looked good there. But then, you know, he had a tough time in his start, but it's against the Brewers. They've been pesky this season. I'm totally with it by low on Hunter Brown because he'll be quite cheap and really low risk and some reward.
Yeah, see, guys, I'm a genius. Frank just said it was. That's how simple it is. You just win money, sit back, collect your checks. Beautiful! Woohoo! And of course, the Discord's free 24/7. Genius! Get in there anytime you want. Ben's in there. We got extra guys that aren't always on the show either, like Christian Crespo, my main man Thud, Chad. These are good times and good people to be in business with. So get over to the Discord for free 24/7. And we're doing the Reddit review tonight, which we'll dive into shortly. But every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern time, noon on Mondays, I do a direct AMA on the Fantasy Baseball subreddit. So if you want to get access to me there, be there every Monday, 12 noon Eastern time. Yeah, it's fun. I used to get pissed off a lot about Reddit. I'm like, yeah, these people are such dicks on this place. More often than not, they're dicks on Reddit. But I've grown to thicken my skin a little bit. I mean, Frank, you know that. You're on Twitter. You got a lot of followers, and not everybody agrees with you, and you got to be tough.
Yeah, you got to grow a thick skin. Although I will say there's some times when, you know, you just maybe had one of those days or, you know, one of those bets miss and you have more of a quick temper and like it rattles you a little more. But yeah, you're right. You develop a thick skin and you learn to see past the negativity.
Just one of those days, huh? Where you don't want to wake up. Yeah. Everything sucks. Everybody sucks. You want to like take a sledgehammer or some shit? I forgot how that song goes. There it is. That's what everybody thinks sucks. I don't want to rip anyone's head off, although it does sound fun, figuratively. All right, there it is. That's pretty much it. 5-star review, please. helps the show grow on our podcast platforms of choice. Thank you to everybody who's been supporting the show this year. We've seen some nice growth, and we want to continue that before everybody runs over to football, Frank. You know it's coming very soon. Everyone's going to abandon baseball and just be obsessed. My timeline will be filled with football shit nonstop.
Yeah, it's already starting. You know, Kyren Williams missing time with a foot issue in OTAs. I mean, it's May. Like, the season doesn't start till 3 months, and everyone's analyzing it. Anyways, this is a baseball show, no football talk. That's all. That's the football talk I'll limit to, what I just said.
Football talk! Oh! I love football, though, so I'm looking forward to making the transition. But right now, I'm locked in on baseball, and I think it's best to try to give all my energy to that. But, you know, the Lions are really good now. It's an unprecedented experience in my life, and it's going to be an exciting year. I think I saw you tweet something today about the Ravens' schedule. I actually agreed with what you said. You said that the Ravens had a really easy schedule last year, which caused them to be sitting players by the fourth quarter. But now this year, it'll be more advantageous because the Ravens have a tougher schedule, which mean they would stay in the game longer.
Exactly. Like, you saw Lamar in some of those games when it's, like, close down to the wire. He's got to keep his foot on the gas. That's when his real big fantasy outputs came from. In those games, you know, against, like, say, the Chargers, they just slept walk to a win. They just ran the ball. That's why he had those really low-scoring weeks from time to time. So I think, yeah, with a tough schedule, it'll help the Ravens, particularly Lamar.
Hell yes. Beautiful. All right, well, let's get into on the Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs, leading off.
First catch of the day.
All right, so on our first catch of the day here, we always try to highlight some things that are going on. Frank, I wrote down on our show sheet here, because we're very professional, Colt Keith. I think the worst is over with Colt Keith. I think the best is yet to come this season. He's had two games out of his last four or five where he had three or more hits, which is promising. And I'm wondering, is that just me being a homer because I live here in Metro Detroit, or is Colt Keith about to turn the corner here?
No, I really like that call. Actually, trying to pull it up now, I retweeted something from Paul Sporer saying, in, I think in Keith's, I'm going to try to find the stat, but long story short, yeah, I think the worst has passed him. You know, he's a top prospect. He's got power. A lot of the leagues, a lot of our listeners may be in, you know, he'll be on free agents. You could pick him up. And here, I found the tweet, Paul Sporer at Sporer tweeted out, Colt Keith may be pulling out of funk a bit. He's hitting a cool 420 in his last 10 games. Three multi-hit games, including 3-for-3 tonight. That was as of last night for Colt Keith. So you got to like that. And he hasn't homered yet. You got to think the homers are coming. You got to, and you got on the screen, like, look at the K rate. Only 16.1%. I like that. I'm with you completely on Colt Keith.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Long overdue. I know sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it to. Colt Keith gets off to a terrible start. Sometimes you got to be patient. And that's this game, though. Knowing when to get in and out is tough. It's not something that's an exact science. It never will be. That's where experiential knowledge comes in my opinion, Frank. Hunting Prospects up in the house here in the live chat. You could be just like Hunting Prospects. Get in there. Ask a question. Sup, gents? I'm pretty deep at second base. And now Junior Caminero's taking reps over there for the Rays and AAA. Do you guys have a trade idea for Marcus Semien? I would rather be too early than too late on getting rid of talent. 12-man dynasty category. We just were talking about this, when to move on, when to get in, when to bail. What do you think here, Frank?
Well, this is tough with dynasty. Admittedly, I don't play much dynasty baseball. I'm going to think of it this way. Like, if you're really not a contender, which I'm going to assume that this person is not a contender because you want to trade Semien and cash out now. Let's say maybe you get, you just mentioned Colt Keith. Maybe you can create, oh no, but he is deep at second base. I was going to say make a package with Colt Keith, maybe with a pitcher as well. You know, because like you said, Colt Keith is starting to get rolling. He's got prospect pedigree. He's got power. And hey, I mean, it kind of fits in this situation, no?
I think so. But Semien's a guy that I don't know if you want to get out of business with.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
it's tough because you'd really be taking a hit in your roster for this year. But if you're contending, I would honestly suggest just holding on to Semien because, like, Caminero the Rays appear to be really patient with him. And I don't know. When do you think he's coming up? June? Maybe not even June.
I've been delaying the reality of Caminero coming up to the Rays. I've been saying this for a while because of the way the Rays are. There's too many players in the mix, and the Rays can't be trusted. Even though Caminero's an elite talent, he's still young, and there's still time, and they'll do it because they want to do it because it's the best thing for the Rays and not anything else. So I can see why you do Semien for Caminero, because it's dynasty, and then you've got Caminero locked in for years to come, and it seems like Semien will decline. But if you're trying to win, as Frank said, if this is a rebuild, of course, do the trade easy. But if you're trying to win, Semien is a guy you want to have on your squad this year, because you're going to get more production than Caminero will provide this year only. So that's how I see it, Frank. But as far as Cole Keith, guys, it's happening. Get it done. Get Cole Keith on your squad. It might be too late. Actually, we might be at that point where it's not too late right now, because not everybody is hip to Cole Keith heating up. This is that moment, though. That will expire in a matter of 48 hours, possibly, Frank. It won't last much longer.
Totally agree. Like, all it takes is one game with a home run, and that'll be it.
Exactly. Yeah, people see a dong, like, oh, hey, Cole Keith. They don't need a lot of reasons to get motivated about picking up Cole Keith again at all, folks. We know what we speak of. In fact, he went 2-for-3 again tonight with an RBI. So that's,
we'll pick him up in my home league.
I'm telling you, this is all happening right now, folks. Cole Keith, it's an expiring offer. 24 hours left maybe on this thing before people realize that it's finally turning around for Cole Keith. I'm telling you, this is that moment. He's going to hit his first home run of the year this week, too. I'm locking that in, which is amazing. He doesn't have a home run yet, Frank. Jeez, that's crazy. Damn. This really game's tough. Corey Jolks is an outfielder that got traded from Houston to the Chicago White Sox a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. And a lot of people like Jolks. In fact, our pal here, our Palazzo pal, Mr. Russell Withers. Shout out to Russell. Love Russell. ArmchairRoto.com is his website. He knows his shit. He loved Jolks last year. It didn't quite work out in Houston. But now that Jolks has been dealt to the south side of Chicago as an outfielder on a team that's not very good, but playing time is open and Jolks has talent. I think this is a guy you want to add in 14 teamers and deeper for sure, with a watch list for Jolks in 12 teamers.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, it's a bad White Sox team, so the playing time is there for Jolks. You look at what he was doing in the minors this year in AAA with Houston, 5 homers, 6 steals, 12.8% walk rate, only an 18.2% strikeout rate. So you like that plate discipline. You like the fact that he can run a little bit, provide a little bit of pop, a little bit of speed. I'm with you, especially in 14 or 15 teamers. 12 teamers, like you said, you could wait on Jolks for him to show a little more. But in deeper formats, yeah, I'm with you.
In fact, again, live update tonight. Corey Jolks went 1-for-3, drove in 2 runs, stole a base for the second straight day. This is promising. This is very, very promising.
I will say, I was watching that game as a Blue Jays fan, and Jolks seemed to be aggressive when he was on the base paths. They even did, like he ran once, I believe, and then it was fouled off, like, it seems like he's got like a clear green light, which makes sense. White Sox are so bad, they're likely to run wild. You know, Jolks stole 22 bases in 590 plate appearances in 2022 in AAA. Hey, he could steal at a 20-plus base pace if, you know, the playing time is there, which it very well could be on a bad White Sox team.
Dude, this is exciting. Corey Jolks is what gets me hyped up about fantasy baseball. He's a guy that has talent, and you can make a move now to get a guy with talent. And it's one of those moves that's fun. You feel good about it because you get production, and not everybody's on it right away. This is that Corey Jolks time. I'm only telling you this because these are always expiring offers. If you don't pick up the phone and start dialing, you're going to be shit out of luck. So now's the time. Pick up the phone and start dialing, please.
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Thank you, Leo.
And then I got to add one quick thing for you, though. Sorry. Because I just remembered, Eloy Jimenez rounding third to get home. Looked like he pulled a hammy, came out of the game early. So that opens a DH spot if Eloy Jimenez is forced to miss time. You know, another out for opportunity for Jolks. Sorry to cut you off. Just had to add that tidbit.
Just another day, man.
Don't be that guy.
Eloy Jimenez, another day in injury. Old ass, tired act. You son of a bitch. Jeez. Jamie, what's up, dude? Jamie's in the house. Out of Rhythm Sports, my man over there. Make sure you check out their work. Great football work over there. Is this an open question for rosters? Sure. You can say whatever you want, dude.
Absolutely. Bring it.
See, Frank approves. Hunting Prospect says, I'm contending for sure, so I'm holding. I actually have Caminero, and I was able to scoop Gorman up off the wire. That's great. Nolan Gorman's a guy that I had as a buy low on the Patreon over the weekend. I love that play. Two thumbs up.
And the fact that Gorman's on the wire shows that, you know, the wire's pretty, that sounds like the wire's relatively like flush with talent. Like, you know, it's not like slim pickings, like since you were able to grab Gorman in Dynasty. So honestly, I would hold Simeon to be, you just mentioned you're contending as well. Just ride with him.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Man, hey, Hunting Prospects, you're sitting pretty, dude. You really are. Ah, Mike Virginia, what's up, my man? Our main man here.
What's up?
Our Palazzo partner in crime. Follow him at _MikeVA on Twitter X. He's doing constant live questions, AMAs on Twitter himself. So you follow him, you're going to get your money's worth and then some. In fact, it's free. So there is no money that you need to spend to make that a reality. Then, Frank, there is David Hamilton. Now, David Hamilton is a guy that got called up by the Red Sox. He's 26, I believe, now. A power speed bat, great patience, really good at drawing walks. Not great for batting average leagues. I admit that freely with David Hamilton. He's got shortstop and second base eligibility, and he's starting to heat up right now. I am excited because I always was. I mean, for me, David Hamilton and Davis Schneider were two guys that I was picking up the phone and trying to... I was dialing, you know. No, it's not too many dicks. It's really about an opportunity to pick up the phone and get a new player who nobody cares about. David Hamilton, nobody was thinking about him preseason. David Schneider, pretty much the same. And now you're starting to get a return. And these are these cheap draft picks that you can get later on in drafts. And I think that David Hamilton will not continue to be in the lineup every day. But if you're looking for speed and a pick-me-up there, maybe score some runs. Hamilton at shortstop is a nice find. Any interest in David Hamilton? Do you care? Or is he just some douchebag who gives a shit?
Well, you know, like you said, he's playing really well. He's got a good eye at the plate. He's got speed. And also, like you said, I don't know how long Hamilton will get to play much. Like, you got to think they give Vaughn Grissom some opportunity with... They traded Chris Sale to get him. But... To your point about that deep gem that at least comes to contribute for you a little bit, like, how good does it feel if you took David Hamilton and, say, an NFBC draft champions? Like, this is exactly the type that you just really found some gold. And just to add on to his minor league numbers, in 2023, 17 homers, 57 steals in AAA and 469 plate appearances. Year before in AA, 70 steals. So, a lot of speed upside here. I could see why you had excitement on David Hamilton.
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Hell yeah, dude. Now, David Hamilton's not a household name. Again, this is a deeper league play. 14 teamers are deeper for sure because he doesn't have enough playing time to warrant being rostered in shallower leagues. But the steals are for real. So if you get desperate for steals at a position where it might be harder to find depth like shortstop, David Hamilton... It's the guy I threw out there. Vaughn Grissom sucks. He's not been good. He finally got healthy. He's been on the field, but he has not performed so far. And I got off the Vaughn Grissom bandwagon last year, Frank. I'm like, I'm out on this shit. It seems like I'm chasing what will never be, what I hope to be versus what never will be. And that's just not a place I want to be at all.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, I totally get that. Honestly, I just picked him up really cheap when he came back just to see what he could do in one of my NFBC leagues. But yeah, I'm not particularly excited about Vaughn Grissom.
Nice. Hunting Prospect says, Mike, watch the other podcast when you guys were talking about Nolan Gorman. So I scooped him up immediately when he was dropped. Nice. Thanks for the advice. Woohoo! Win. That's right. These guys don't have patience, he says. You got to take advantage of your league mates' lack of patience. Know your league mates, know their tendencies.
That's
Jamie says, it's a gift. Jamie says, so I'm doing the TGFBI first time for Roto. Number 5 in the group. What's the best way to determine picking up runs, stolen bases? Well, for runs, you're looking for a lineup situation. You're looking for volume opportunities. Can you get a guy who hits higher up in the lineup? Is he in a lineup where the production's been there and guys around him are players you trust to drive that player in? Those are things I would look at, and to make sure that he's on the field every day and producing enough with a floor. I guess with walk rate, for example, you want a low floor or a higher floor, right? So that when things get tough for a guy who's about scoring runs, if he can get on base through the walk, that means he can still score runs even when he can't make contact for shit during a slump.
Yeah, and to add to that, maybe if you have one roster spot, you know, it's always good to stream hitters. It's easier at outfield, obviously, at a deeper position. You can maybe, you see a team, they're on the road, they're in Cincinnati. Maybe they're in Coors for the weekend series, something like that.
Yep.
And or this particularly is good if you are picking Coors. Up like a platoon bat who has like 6 of 7 righties all week. And when they're in the lineup, they're hitting towards the top. Like an example could be maybe Jock Peterson. Now, I know he's more of a power type, but he's a platoon bat. He hits on the left side. If you notice, he's in, you know, a relatively good park for the week. He's got a bunch of righties. And you got the room to pick him up. He could come for cheap, and he could really give you a little boost in runs. As for speed, you know, we mentioned one, David Hamilton in TGFBI. It's 15 teams. He could fit there, and yeah, he can ride the wave right now while he's running hot and Von Grissom is struggling. You just want to look at their minor league production. You can look at their sprint speed on StatCast, on Baseball Savant. You can also see, like, hey, like Corey Jolks, another good example. You need speed, go pick him up. He's on a bad team. They could let him run wild on the base paths.
Perfect.
These are things you could look for when trying to bolster these two categories, runs and steals.
Hell yeah. Frank Amarante, bring the heat. Jamie, that was a thorough explanation. I hope that helped you, my friend. Good to see you. Fantasy Sports says, how would you rank them in redraft? This is a redraft head-to-head points ranking. You got Geloff, Gleyber, Joey Ortiz of Milwaukee Brewers, Davis Schneider, my boy from Toronto, Frank, and Michael Massey. So Geloff's been back for a bit now from his injury. Gleyber Torres, he still has more to offer this season. Joey Ortiz is on a roll. Davis Schneider's maybe breaking out. He's at least very consistent. And Michael Massey is a guy who is underappreciated, I think. This is I don't know if this is clear cut. I'm sure. What do you think? Well, I don't know.
My thing is I was really high on Gleyber Torres coming into the year, you know, contract season. And in points leagues, what's good is he doesn't strike out much. Last year, 14.6% strikeout rate, but so far this year, it's 24.1. Long story short, I'm going to give him some leeway. I think, you know, being in that stacked Yankees lineup, relatively good strikeout rate, as I said. I think I'm still going to put him one.
Okay.
You know, Zach Geloff, I feel like he gets a downgrade in points leagues. I don't play them that much, but I do know K's are bad, and speed doesn't matter as much, correct? Like in a category league?
Well, you get more speed, stolen bases. If you get a guy with a lot of volume, like an Ellie De La Cruz, you get more points for those. That's cool, but otherwise, unless you're getting a lot consistently, you're not getting as much.
Yeah, so I think I could be open to ranking Ortiz or Schneider over Geloff, maybe, just because, you know, Geloff has a 30-plus percent strikeout rate. You know, so that hurts. But I'm going to put Schneider at 2 because he is leading off right now for the Jays, and
yeah,
he's hitting the ball hard. He's playing it every day. Geloff, I could see Ortiz over him. I'll probably put Ortiz over him, then Geloff, then Massey. But honestly, it's really up for debate, and I can be swayed on this one. Although I will say I'm going to put Torres at 1.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. You're welcome, Jamie, by the way. Live chat, jump in it. Use it if you're on Twitter X or YouTube, wherever you are. Even, hey, Mike Virginia, he's a host of this show. He knows how to do it. You guys could do it, too. Your genius is in waiting. I know that.
Wow, dude.
I would say I'm going to go Gleyber Torres. Then Geloff. Gleyber, Geloff, Schneider, Ortiz, Massey. That's how I'm doing it. Yeah. And lock me in on that. And if I'm wrong, then I don't know, you can hang me out to dry, castrate me, whatever you feel is a appropriate punishment for this type of failure in this world.
And we said we can't predict the future. How could we possibly have seen something this awesome?
You're right. You never know what the hell's going to happen next. That's what fantasy baseball is all about. Take a chance. Buy a ticket. Take the ride here. Frank Amirante, Michael Govier here. Palazzo Podcast, two L's,
Utah.
Two Z's. Make sure you subscribe and like while you're here. You know how it be. You know how YouTube works. You know how this stuff works. I don't have to repeat it. You either want to be a part of the show and be connected with us, or you want us to fail. And if that's your choice, you know, you want us to fail, I'll have to live with that. But it's not going to ruin my night, Frank. I'm going to have a good time because we're talking baseball.
Absolutely. Love that.
All right. Now it's time for the moment of truth. Let's get into it. It's time to join the Fantasy Baseball subreddit. In progress live. We're going to start answering the questions that people are posting. So here it is. Beautiful. Look at that. I like dark mode. I don't know about you. I always use dark mode, Frank. That's my thing.
Yeah, and especially when you're on dark mode for a while, then sometimes it switches to light mode if you update the phone or something. I don't know. That's happened to me. And then it's like, whoa, this is so bright. So yeah, dark mode's the way to go.
See? Two critics can't go wrong. All right. So what about this one here? My lineup on paper looks so good. Why am I like 4 for 29 every single day? Beats the hell out of me, man. That's a mystery that no one's been able to solve. It's just hell on earth. What can I say? It's bad luck. That's all it is. Bad luck. Yeah, or your team actually sucks.
You just gotta keep rolling. You gotta look though. Maybe you do have a bunch of busts on the same team. Maybe you have Corbin Carroll, Bo Bichette, Gleyber Torres. These are big names that are struggling. You know, right? Keep it rolling. Be patient, but that could be the reason.
Ranch, this is a guy I know from the AMAs. This guy wants to know, do good teams even need to platoon? Wow. When I see the Rays roster, their 5 through 9 hitters always seem to be matchup dependent. Then when I look at the Phillies, Braves, Dodgers, and Yankees, it's usually the same guys regardless of lefty-righty matchups. I guess what I'm saying is if you platoon a handful of guys like the Rays, doesn't that mean your roster just isn't that good?
Yeah, I think like the Rays have to do that because they have such a low payroll. This is their way to do it. It's like they can't spend as much of the other teams. They got to try to find an edge by playing matchups, you know, utilizing platoons. So teams like the Rays, it does make a lot of sense to do so and use platoons. Teams like the Yankees, you know, the Phillies, Dodgers, Braves, high payrolls, it could be more set and forget it.
The Dodgers play a lot of matchups too, so I'm not sure. I understand what the Ranch is trying to say here. There's a point where platoons maybe got a little bit overutilized, and there's some benefit to having a consistency in the lineup where players get to play a little bit more often and try to figure out how to hit against guys that are the same side as them. And with the rule changes too, you know, it's not all about hard contact as much anymore. I still focus on hard hit rate, Frank. That's a big deal. I'm looking to see how hard a guy's hitting it compared to last year, compared to where he is now. But with the rule changes for 2023, Frank, we have seen more players are willing to spray the ball, take a little bit something off of it, put it in play, and get more base hits because the shift is dead. Long gone.
Yeah, very true. And hey, to your point, like a team like the Rays, like say last year, Josh Lowe was playing great. They would take him out a lot of the times against lefties. Why not leave him in and try to develop, like you're saying, and then maybe he can improve? How's the hitter going to improve against, let's say, the same side if he doesn't get a chance? So
exactly.
I do get that for sure.
But some guys just suck in certain situations too. I get that. But kind of like the analytics revolution, the Moneyball revolution, it's gone a little bit overboard. There's always got to be a correction. And I think there's a slight correction already happening, but we still see a lot of platooning. And that's never going to change, ever. That's just not going to change. You're not going to get rid of it entirely because baseball is a superstitious game anyways, Frank. Did you know that?
That's putting it mildly.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that shit. All right, next question. Let's see. Guys, jump in the live chat. Take advantage of it.
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Dropping Carter yet? So I assume this is Evan Carter. Are we dropping Evan Carter yet? Should we be dropping Evan Carter? I don't think so.
I don't think so unless it's a 10-team league where the waiver wire is just totally stacked with talent and you can churn and burn more, but 12 team, I still wouldn't drop him just yet.
Yeah, he's got talent. We know he has a prospect pedigree. There's a waiter. There's a pepper in me, paprikash. But Evan Carter is a guy that has a lot of talent. It's just not clicking for him right now. And the Rangers just won a World Series. They're about winning titles. Bruce Bochy ain't got time for this shit if Evan Carter can't get the job done. So it might be a wow dude moment.
Wow,
Evan Carter could go down the minors for a bit, maybe try to refigure things out, get some more bats regularly while he tries to improve. I think that's not crazy.
Yeah, it could absolutely happen. I think maybe give it another couple weeks before dropping, unless you're in a, you know, much more shallow format.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, this is redraft city, shallower. Well said. That matters a great deal. Context and what league you're in. That matters so much, guys. I can never say it enough, Frank. I can't, because I still get questions where people don't give me all the context of their league, where I need to know how many teams, what's the format, what's the scoring category. All those things make a difference.
Yeah, because it's also worth noting, like, let's say you're in OBP format. Carter is harder to drop because you look at that 10% walk rate, that helps a bit. But if it's batting average, which I know is more popular, but still the question is still worth bringing up, like it's easier to drop him, what I'm saying, in batting average and OBP, I would say.
Yeah. Also, his hard hit rate has fallen from 46 to 33 this year. Again, I said there's been some drop-offs across the league because of the rule changes, but that's a big drop. 13% does at least get me standing up and taking notice, saying, what the hell else is going on with Evan Carter's profile? And ground balls are the same. He's hitting more fly balls than he was last year. And again, he had a small sample. Everybody saw Evan Carter have a great run and in the playoffs and assumed that would translate to 2024, but he only played, I think he had like 75 plate appearances in the regular season last year.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. 75.
He's a good, warning case of, you know, as good as a young player could look, and if it's a small sample, they could easily just really struggle in year two. So you got to tread lightly when you see that ADP climb.
Damn right. Absolutely. Lock that in. Mike Vieira's heading to bed, boys. Gove, I'll see you Friday, my brother. That's right. We're going to do our show. Mike's been busy as hell. He was in Chicago last weekend, but now he's focused and committed as we hit the dog days of summer soon enough. On the Palazzo Podcast, two L's,
Utah.
Two Z's.
Give me two.
Frank, any worries with Randy Arozarena, Nick Castellanos, and Gleyber Torres? We already talked about Gleyber a bit, but what about Arozarena and Castellanos?
Well, Arozarena, I'm not worried about him because, you know, he's now got, what, like 3 years under his belt with 2020. You know, he's starting to slowly come out of it. You know, he's hit safely in seven of his last nine games. That includes two homers. So patience with him. He should get going. Castellanos should bounce back as well, being in a good Phillies lineup. But, you know, he's more of a free swinger. I was already off him just because of that. And, you know, the 11 stolen bases from last year was clearly a career high for Castellanos. He only has one this year. That could dip to 5 for the season. And then, you know, what? He's now 32. This could be the start of the decline for him. So I'd be most worried about Castellanos.
I'm not worried. The lineup's too good. The ballpark plays. It's just been, maybe this is because we're seeing a slightly less palatable Nick Castellanos from a production standpoint. And Nick Castellanos is a guy that he's a difference maker. If you didn't know that, now you know. And I'm not willing to give up on him yet. I know everything on this page shows a lot of blue in terms of his 23% walk rate, 8% K, walk, 8% walk rate, 23% K rate. You'd like to see some more dongs. I'm not going to panic, man. I'm going to hang tough. And sooner enough, Castellanos is going to get this going. But if you're desperate and you're really starting to freak out, like, oh my God, I don't have time for this anymore, then I understand why you could bail on Castellanos. I do.
Yeah, it just depends on the league, really.
It does. You know, Castellanos, he hits home runs in challenging situations. He's done it time in and time out throughout his career, just like this.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
See?
And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
That wasn't easy to do, folks. Trust me. Someone says RIP Doval, Camilo Doval. He must have got ripped tonight, or he got hurt. If he got hurt, I'm going to be really depressed if that's the case.
I think he got rocked because I just looked at the score. It was 6-6. Giants were up like 5-2 out when I started the show here, so he probably blew the save.
Oh, well,
which sucks. You always hate seeing that.
Yeah, I think this is bullshit. Unless this is telling me otherwise, he pitched 2/3 of an inning, got a strikeout.
Oh.
But
unless he is hurt. Hold on.
Well, this Yahoo's fucked this up. Just a minute ago, Yahoo said it was no score in the first inning. Never mind.
No, he blew the save. I just looked on Twitter.
Oh, God. Wow.
O'Neill Cruz tonight had, when I was watching, had 120-mile-per-hour single, and he hit it 121.5 miles per hour off Doval. So that's two in the same game, 120-plus. That's insane.
Wow.
Damn! Where are we at in society today?
We're in a great place. O'Neill Cruz is cranking masterful dongs. Love it. Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome. Get in the live chat, folks.
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
We got another question here. This is from TM, one of our regulars. TM has become a regular on the show. Good to see you, TM. Do you think Alex Bregman will turn it around? What are some buy low candidates at third base? Bregman will play better, Frank. He has not been great so far this year, but he's not this bad. It's just not the case. And he could be pressing because it's a free agent year. I don't know for sure, but he'll perform better. He's only striking out 13% of the time, too. So it's not like he's whiffing like a madman either.
Yeah, I think honestly, he's already started to turn it around. I know he had that back-to-back game, 2 homers and then 1. He hasn't done much since, but just because he did that so recently, May 13th and May 14th, Bregman. And given his lengthy track record, yeah, I do think Bregman will turn it around.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have any doubts. I don't have a lot of Bregman, so I don't have to worry about it too much. But that's just how this is going to go, because that's how shit goes, man. Things get good, they get bad. They get good again, they get bad again. That's baseball. It's a brutal game. Andy Bell, what's up, Andy? Good to see you. It's been a minute. I'm in a 2-catcher league where MJ Melendez is catcher eligible, and his start was so exciting. But he's been dog shit for 6 weeks. How long do I hold? In a 2-catcher league, dropping Melendez a little bit more suspect, a little bit more risky because it's 2-catcher. I would try to wait it out a little bit longer if I could.
Yeah, definitely hold 2-catcher league. The fact that he has catcher eligibility obviously makes Melendez more valuable. It's been a rough go, but you know, a lot of people liked him coming into the season. A lot of really successful fantasy baseball players I know were on him. So I'm going to be patient here.
Yeah. Melendez, I think we might have to temper our expectations of what we thought Melendez might be. There was a lot of hype for him as a prospect when he came up a few years back. I think we might have to accept the fact that, because he had that 40-dong season, I believe, in the minor leagues in 1 year. And that was big. People are like, holy shit, this guy had a 40-dong season in the minors. He must be a masterful legend of the dong. And it turns out he's more of a, maybe he's a little limp dick. I don't know. So, yeah, those aren't my words, man. That's just how society describes certain things. I will apologize if you need me to.
I apologize.
Shut the fuck up!
Okay, thank you very much. Well, we can laugh about it now, can we? We got more questions here. You guys are heating up the live chat. I love it. Thank you so much for being here on Palazzo Podcast.
We can laugh about it now. We're all right.
Yeah, we are all right. This was back here from Fantasy Sports, and he said, why pitching has been so dominant this year over hitting? We have top 60 to 70 good pitchers this year. Huh.
Well, it could be a couple things. Could be, you know, April and May baseball before it starts heating up. You know, pitchers are ahead of hitters traditionally. Also could be something with the ball. Maybe they change the ball again, and it's, you know, we've seen that the last couple years. So let's see how it plays out over the year. I got to think the offense will start you know, really picking up.
I never know what's going on with the baseball either. We've seen a lot of double-digit run-scoring games, so offense has showed up in certain spots. It's not dead, but you never know what baseball's in play, so how am I supposed to know that for sure? I could say it's the baseball. I've heard pitchers complain that it's more slippery at times, depending on the day and the ump and the situation, but that would be an advantage for hitters. So, Frank, I'm not so sure, even if this is the case right now, Mr. Fantasy Sports, I think I expect the hitting to even out and catch up, especially in June.
Yeah, especially I have a lot of hitters with such long track records off to a slow start. Like we mentioned Acuna, like he's like way below last year. You got to think he gets going. Acuna is an example of many, really. And the Braves offense overall has had a cold stretch too. So a lot of these teams will just really get going as the weather heats up as it is now.
On Monday, I do bonus episodes of the Palazzo Podcast on our Patreon, which you can check out. Starts at $3. You can also join for free for the hell of it if you want to try to look at the free stuff that comes out. That's the Palazzo Podcast. It's under MJ Govier, patreon.com/MJGovier. This is the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's,
Utah.
Two Z's.
Give me two.
Me and Frank Amarante talking shop here. And the thing is, Frank, is that, man, how do I put this? Sometimes you just don't know what the hell's going to happen. I mean, that's it. But when Ronald Acuna has a legendary season, you know he's probably not going to do that again the next year. It's just it's a safe expectation. It is. That's why Shohei Ohtani was different, because he's in the prime of his career right now. Believe it or not, Acuna is still creeping into his prime. And Ohtani is in an incredible lineup, and he's just a more dominant hitter than Acuna is. I just trusted him more than I did Acuna this year. And that's why I tried to take Ohtani over Acuna when I could. Which wasn't a lot, because I couldn't. A lot of people were jumping on him because we know he's in that Dodgers lineup and he's so talented, so much power, everything. Ohtani can do it all. He can steal bags too. Maybe not at Acuna level, but Ohtani can run. That plays. And then if you got the discount during the gambling conspiracy, that you're even more thrilled now.
Yeah, honestly, I will say I was lower on Ohtani coming to the year. I thought he'd have a slower start coming off the injury. I was totally wrong on that. I wanted to hedge my bet. My last NFBC OC draft, right when the gambling controversy was going on, I got Kyle Tucker in the first, Shohei Ohtani in the second. I mean, how gorgeous of a start is that? But yeah, Ohtani is just something else. What a year he's having.
Yep, he's the man. I love Ohtani so much.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine.
That's true. We're not going to rip on you, Frank. We're not going to tear you down. Hey, did you know not everybody gets it right? Nobody has 100% hit rate. Have you heard that before? Hunting Prospect says, coffee's for closers. Speaking of closers, you have any next up guys if the main closer loses their job? So basically, you're looking for a closer in waiting. Frank, any come to mind right now that you'd be like, hey, I'd like to get in on this guy because the party could be over for the man in front of him in the moment.
Yeah, so you could check my weekly article at thegameday.com. I update closer rankings and depth charts. I look at who could be next in line. But in terms of answering the question here, you know, we look at Tanner Scott has some, he's a bit volatile. I know he's done decent this year, but now that AJ Puck's back in the bullpen, that could be a possible closer in waiting, especially with the Marlins likely selling at the deadline. Mm-hmm. You got to think Tanner Scott would be someone who could be traded, and they could just slot Puck in at closer. So that could be an option. As another one, really right now it's a little harder because maybe one more. Carlos Estevez has struggled, but it's just hard to see who'd be next in line. Matt Moore, it could be a committee.
Luis Garcia is a guy maybe you can take a look at.
Maybe Luis Garcia. Jason Foley, the shine has worn off a bit, although I'm hoping he keeps the job. He had a little rough patch. But Alex Lange really isn't that great either. So in short, I would say AJ Puck would be someone you could pick up. Maybe even Jeff Hoffman to get some saves.
Yeah.
They like to mix and match, the Phillies do. With Alvarado and Hoffman. So that sums it up. Hoffman and AJ Puck.
Excellent. I'll also throw in Hunter Harvey of the Nats.
Yeah.
If Finnegan gets dealt, Finnegan doesn't seem to be ever letting go of that closer job in Washington. And I was convinced he would, but this guy has got nine lives, right? It's crazy.
Yeah, just rolling this year.
It's incredible. From, so I
and,
think
and yeah. saves wise, like if you look under the hood, Finnegan, like his Sierra and stuff like that, the advanced yeah. stats, the ERA indicators aren't great, but hey, he's racking up saves.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Yep, locking my man in here on the Bloodso podcast. Two L's, two Z's.
You talk.
I wanted to mention also back to the offensive standpoint. The Rockies are fourth from last in team home runs. That just makes no sense, okay?
Coors.
I know the Rockies suck, but it's Coors. It's supposed to be a benefit to them. They shouldn't be in the bottom five in home runs as a team at this point at all. They just shouldn't. So there's a lot of corrections coming, folks. There really is. Just wait for it. Be patient. And try to put yourself in a position where you can pounce on the guys that are going to take off in June. Because as I like to say, Frank, every month has a story. Every month is a new opportunity in baseball. And you see different guys ascend and other guys descend every month. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, like look at Rafael Devers. What did in April, he didn't do right. much. In May, six homers in a row. Six games in a row with a homer. So, yeah, like, to your point. The season, this massive marathon of the season is broken down into like mini seasons that you got to just adjust on the fly.
Damn right. And this is for you, Hunting Prospects.
Put that coffee down.
That's for you, my man. Jamie wants to know, is there a site out there one can go to find which closer that might be in for the save that day?
Ah, good question. What you could look at here is, if I'm not mistaken, if you go on Fangraphs on Roster Resource, if you look at the, so if you go to, so here's what you do, Fangraphs.com, Roster Resource, you scroll down to the bullpen, and what you could see is you could see the last 6 days, the number of pitches that each reliever has thrown. So let's say the Red Sox, you look at Kenley Jansen, you notice that he's pitched on two consecutive days. There's a good chance that if there is a save situation on day three, maybe they bring in Chris Martin. So that could be a way that you could stream using Fangraphs Roster Resource if you want to get in the nitty-gritty like that and really dig for saves.
You got it, buddy. Frank, that's excellent. Good call. I love it, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, you should free. Have some coffee. It's free. That's a good way to do it. I know some sites you may have to. I know I don't want to take away from other sites, you know, getting subscribers, but you know, that's a free way to do that and dig for a save.
Oh, and I'm glad that Hunty Prospects enjoyed the Glengarry Glenn Ross drop here. We aim to please.
Fuck you. That's my name.
Right. Yeah, there's that as well. Andy Bell says, Pitcherless usually has a good reliever article, and they color shade the likelihood that they will be available. You guys, we're missing the biggest one. I mean, Reliever Recon. That's where it's at. Greg Jewett is a friend of ours.
Yeah, the best. Definitely.
He's a great man. And Closer Monkey associated with that. Use both of those together in tandem. You can't go wrong. Greg has been working on this niche in the fantasy baseball market for years now. I love Greg Jewett, and I love Reliever Recon, and I love the people that work there, like my main man from St. Louis, the one and only, the IDP guru, if you will, my old pal over there. You know my guy, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm blanking out. I can't remember my friend's name. Oh my God, what happened to me? I'm such a dick. Anyways, you know him. You know, yeah, he loves, probably. He does IDP. He's also, if he hears about this, I'm fucked. Oh, man, it's been a long day, so please forgive my memory. Usually I have an excellent memory. All right, let's get back to a few more of the Reddit scrolling here on the Doom Scroll Network Live. Me and Frank Amarante doing our thing on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Utah. Z's.
Give me two.
This right here says, I am on the Luke Rayleigh train and never getting off. I agree. I don't know if I might get off still, but I'm on that Luke Rayleigh train full bore, Frank. Have you checked out what Luke Rayleigh's been doing lately?
Yeah, he's been on fire, really. I get getting on the train, but, you know, you do have to get off. This is just a streaky hitter. But definitely ride the wave on Luke Rayleigh.
Yep. Yeah, he hit a dong tonight in New York in the Bronx, and he went 3-for-4 back-to-back days before that. In fact, he's got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-game hitting streak with 3 home runs over that time and 2 steals. Holy cow, Scorchy. Luke Rayleigh. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Ride it until the wheels fall off. That's what you got to do with Luke Rayleigh. And it's a beautiful thing to see. That trade looked kind of bogus to start the year because he came over from the Rays, and the Seattle Mariners looked like maybe they got hosed a bit, but Rayleigh's already returning value now. So that's good to see. Are we starting Gavin Stone? The night is going pretty good for me with... Oh, so if you would have started Gavin Stone earlier, that's too late. We're already past that. Let's see. People bitched about Doval. Brian Wu is a stud. That's true. I agree. Glad Foley came in to fuck around a little bit. He shit the bed tonight? Maybe you were just talking about Foley, my guy, in Detroit. If he shit the bed, he shits the bed. There's nothing you could do about that, okay? It's just...
Go Tigers!
It's just the nature of the beast when you're a closer. Sometimes it's not your night, you know?
Let's see. They were down 10-3, so I know it was like 8-0. He came in... He came in the sixth inning of a game where they were trailing 8-3.
Uh-oh!
That's ugly, but... Volatile situation there with the Tigers closers for the time being.
Shit the bed for sure.
There was some poop in our bed this morning.
Yeah, that's Jason Foley's bed. Moving on. Mariners pen has already allowed more base runners in an inning than Wu did through his first six innings. Oh, that's fun to know. Oh, here's a good one. So Clark Schmidt. Have you seen what Clark Schmidt's been up to, Frank?
Yes, I have. He looks good this season, really. Like, the whiffs are up. The whiffs are up. Tonight he got squeezed a bit. He could have had more Ks. He got 6 Ks in 5 innings. He labored a little bit, but man, he's had a nice stretch prior to tonight. You know, back-to-back games with no earned runs. He had 14 Ks in 14.2 innings in that stretch. 27% strikeout rate. Obviously, the Yankees are good, so it's a good situation.
It's incredible. Look at Clark Schmidt, man. He is taken off to another level here, keeping that ERA at 2.49. But everything else across the board, you know, 27% K rate to a 7% walk rate. And he's going deeper in games. That was a problem for the Yankees last year. They didn't get enough guys who could go deeper into games. And Clark Schmidt is now more of a viable quality start candidate than he was in the past. This is a this could be the breakout for Clark Schmidt, who was a prospect that was well received in the minors.
Yeah, and you got to love playing for a Yankees team. The wins will be there. Like you said, he's pitching deeper. Schmidt is. Hey, yep. The Yankee fans got to be ecstatic with what's gone on with the team with Gerrit Cole out. Like, Carlos Rodon pitching well. Nestor Cortez been fine. Clark Schmidt's breaking out. Luis Gil has been great. 14 strikeout game. Damn, the Yankees are a problem. Unfortunately.
Yeah. That's putting it mildly.
That is correct. Live chat still open here. We got a few minutes. We're going to wrap this puppy up very soon here. We thank Frank Amarante for being here. I totally forgot to mention the game day stuff, dude. That was a poor introduction on my fault.
That's okay. It's okay. We forgive you.
Thank you. You're a good Canadian, so.
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Get your chance. Get it now while it's hot. Jamie, want to say thank you. I have a 20-man league. 20-man, that's deep. And other leagues as well. I noticed that I didn't end up with any save for the week, and I was wanting to find saves. In a 20-man league, it's probably never been easier to find saves. It's still hard to come by, but 20-man leagues 20 years ago had a lot harder time finding saves at this point in the year.
Definitely.
It's changed.
Times have changed.
Yeah. There it is. O'Neill smoked 121.5 mile an hour double. Woo! That's insane. Was it really that high?
Yeah, he had 2 batted balls over 120 tonight. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
I don't even know if I've ever seen that. I mean, I don't know. That's a max EV from the gods.
I do got to add quick interruption to say Colt Keith just hit a double.
Yay!
So he's now... He's now 3-for-4 tonight. So to your point, like, I got to go pick him up as well. Honestly, in one of my home leagues, I picked up Cal Quantrill to stream against the A's. After that start is done, I'm grabbing Colt Keith because I only have one roster spot, but love it.
Cal Quantrill, dude.
He's rolling.
He is. You're right. Robbie Baseball was talking about that last night. Shout out to my main man there. We had our MLB draft preview expert on from Baseball America, Carlos Colazo. That's right. It rhymes with Palazzo. Shout out to Carlos and Robbie. And Robbie was saying that, man, this is the time. This is an exciting moment. And I think, I mean, what do you make of it, Frank? I mean, this is the way things are going to be now?
Well, we've seen him have these stretches in the past, like a couple years ago with the Guardians, Cal Quantrill. I just think it's a hot streak. Maybe he's going to have one of those years where he outperforms his peripherals. But, like, as with any Rockies pitcher, like, are you going to feel comfortable starting them at home? You got to start them half the time. Really, they're just going to be streamers on the road. Austin Gomber is another one who you could stream. He's been rolling as well, and he plays the A's, I believe, tomorrow. So another streamer there. But to your question, to sum it up, you know, you can't be too excited about this. Just a streamer.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Woohoo! Cal Quantrill.
Coors.
Right around the corner. Coors will burn him eventually, but enjoy it while it lasts, Cal. I'm happy for you. It's one of those weird runs that you see every year in baseball from a guy that you don't exactly expect it from. This question on the Reddit you see before you, for those of you watching this live, does David Fry play enough to be relevant in a 10-teamer? Frank, David Fry has excellent numbers. He just doesn't play enough. He actually plays, looks like, four times a week, usually, depending on the matchups. But he's really taking advantage of it whenever he plays, showing power. He's got a batting average that's nice, a .329. He's got three steals, even. This is a catcher. So there could be some people who think catcher is shit. But I actually think catcher has really taken off in the last year or two. There's more depth than there's been in a while. That's a fact, Jack.
It's true. It's true. And you look at what he's doing against lefties. He's slugging over 700. I think in a 10-team league, I would say no, just because, like, that's a really, really robust waiver wire with talent there. But if it's like 15-team, definitely. 12-team, you can even roll them. You got to be impressed with what he's done, for sure. Another surprise of the early season.
And we were talking about platoons earlier in the show. This is a reason, right? He crushes on one side of the plate, but maybe not as good against pitchers from the other side. So that's why platoons will never go out of baseball. But maybe there's a David Fry who give it a chance to play every day against any type of handedness from a pitcher. Maybe there's a guy there that could improve. You don't know that for sure, but it's a safer bet to keep the platoons intact, especially for teams that are on tighter payrolls, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cheap guys. More cheap guys. We need more cheap guys. We're cheap. We're a cheap organization, and we need more cheap guys. Is that okay? Anybody have a problem with that? Great, good. In fact, Dylan Cease was on the show recently, and he said this.
Dude is a cheap tight ass who knows nothing about.
Oh, nothing about what? Got cut off. That is funny, though. I think he was talking about Jerry Reinsdorf, actually, so Chicago White Sox owner. Eloy Jimenez's streak of most consecutive games played among active players will likely come to an end tomorrow. See, Reddit's funny. Reddit could be hilarious. Vinny P is spanking the ball tonight, including two barrels, but has just one double and four ABs. Vinny P has not been talked about hardly at all on our show this season. And in circles I run in, I don't have people bringing him up. But Vinny P is on a legit Royals team that's 10 games over 500. And he is solidly and not flashy, but very, very consistent with 30 RBIs. You'd like to see the average up. It's at 231. That's kind of disappointing. But Vinny P is a guy that everybody wanted to be in business with 2 years ago before he got hurt last year. It's Italian breakfast, man.
Yeah, you love that plate discipline. Like, his strikeout rate is so low and he walks a lot. Some encouraging signs in that, you know, his barrel rate, 9.9%, 70th percentile, hard hit rate, 81st percentile on Baseball Savant, Vinny Pasquantino. And the rolling ex-WOBA, last 100 plate appearances, Pasquantino's well above league average. Maybe the hot streak is coming soon. You know, Pasquantino missing a lot of time last year. Maybe it took him time to really get rolling. I think better days are ahead.
Man, that's wild, dude. His expected stats. If you're into expected stats and you like to use them as predictors, which they should not be used independently as predictors. That's not how it should work.
That's putting it
mildly. But his expected batting average is much higher, and his WOBA is too. So if you buy into that stuff, that tells you there's more in the tank and that maybe there's better luck ahead for Vinny P, which would be a nice boost to his overall value, Frank. I would like to see that for sure. This is a good one right here. Here we go, Frank. This is great. I've seen this one a lot. Shane Boz or Jeffrey Springs? Better IL stash. Springs or Boz?
For me, I got to go Boz just because he's further removed from his injury. Jeffrey Springs, you know, it'll be, what? He's starting to ramp up, but, like, it's only 5 weeks. 1 year.
Yeah, maybe 5 weeks he comes back.
It's, you know, Buzz missed the entire season last year, and I feel a lot better with what Buzz could do this year compared to Springs, just because he's further removed from the injury.
And it looks like Buzz will make one more rehab start, and then he will be back, which would be next week. Next week, Jane Buzz could be back in the bigs for the Rays.
Love that.
I think I still prefer Springs because Buzz is inconsistent and still has to show me more. What Springs showed me when he was healthy is it was real consistent. The ratios were great, and he had a nice balance of getting the whiffs without having too many command problems. Jeffrey Springs over Buzz for me. I'm going to lock myself in. There you go. Let's see. What else we got here on this subreddit, Frank? We got a... Oh, someone's blaming the rain. Someone says, I shouldn't feel bad cutting Castellanos loose, right? Well, we already covered that one, so you know how we feel about Nick Castellanos. Not giving up on him. A lot of bitching about Foley already, like you said. Bobby Witt obviously had a big night, apparently. Bobby Witt Jr. started to take off. Oh, here's a good one. Lars Nootbaar or Joe Adell? Rest of season, Nootbaar or Adell? I think this is an excellent showdown.
Ooh, it is good. I like what I'm seeing out of Adell. You know, the lineup, there's opportunity to move up. At least he runs a little bit. Obviously, yep. Still strikes out a lot, Adell. But, you know, Nootbaar's dealt with injury issue. I think I'd roll the dice on Adell, but it is, I could be swayed either way.
Okay. Yeah. Adell is definitely having that moment. It's happening. Angels suck, but Adell looks like he's finally figured it out. Ron Wish, Washington has been kind of the, hey, let me guide the way for you, youngster. I'm here to save your career. My name is Ron Washington. And that's what happened. You know, the Angels picked up the phone. They called Ron Washington and said, hey, save Joe Adell's career.
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
That's Ron Washington, by the way. Lars Nootbaar for me, I think, is a safer floor. Yeah. He had a 367 OBP last year. I think I'm going to go with Nootbaar here because I trust all rest of season that he'll be a little bit more steady. Adell has a lot of streakiness in him. And that could be also a missed opportunity on myself, Frank, because the ceiling is higher for Adell.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want more floor, Nootbaar is a lot more of a stable hitter. Like you said, you love that walk rate. You love how his K rate is sub 20%. But if you're in elite, let's say 12-teamer, you can easily replace Adell if it doesn't work out. The replacement value is there. I'd rather swing for the fence on Joe Adell.
Ooh. See, and, you know, Nootbaar hits higher in the lineup. I think he hits second. There's more opportunities for Nootbaar to get down and early.
He's starting to get going, Nootbaar.
Yep.
So I get it for sure.
Yeah, I get it, too. He had the rib cartilage issue that delayed his start to the year, but it wasn't that big a deal. And now Nootbaar is the man. I prefer Nootbaar over Adell, and I think a lot of people would disagree with that just because they're obsessed with Joe Adell. Joe Adell hypnotizes people. There's nothing can be done about it. It just can't be done. Ooh, here's a good one. Drop Nolan Jones or Jason Dominguez. Thought Jones would be back today. So Jason Dominguez is close to returning, but he's not going to come to the Yankees right away. He's going to go to AAA first before he possibly gets sent up to the Bronx. But the way the Yankees are playing, they might kind of be more patient with Jason Dominguez.
Yeah, exactly. And then you add in the fact that I know Nolan Jones, that he probably shouldn't have gone as high as he did in drafts before the season. But hey, he went, like sixth round. He got injured. He had already been off to a slow start, but you got to give a bit more leeway to Nolan Jones, especially with what you said, how the Yankees could be patient with Jason Dominguez, whereas the Rockies obviously need Nolan Jones. Like, I mean, look at that lineup.
And Nolan Jones had a setback in his rehab. He was supposed to be coming back this week. That's true. But he had a knee issue now. So it's not just the back. We got the back and the knee. That is scary. That causes real issues now. And the paranoia is about to just go off the chain, because people will be freaking out about Nolan Jones not being there for them this season. But he's not going to be a lost cause this year. It's just a little bit more patience is required. And when you've already been patient and you have to be patient longer than that, Frank, it pisses a lot of people off. They rage drop. Yeah. They make a rage trade, and they just want to be out of business with a guy instead of regulating their emotions, staying calm, and making the patient decision. Stick with it. I know if you keep losing, it's like, how much longer do I need to lose before I can win? And you can't wait forever, but Nolan Jones shouldn't be that much farther off from returning.
Yeah, exactly. Don't just resist the urge for the rage drop. You gotta hold it together.
All right. Well, I think that'll pretty much do it. Let's see if we get one more in here. A lot of bitching about Kyle Bradish, I guess. Maybe he didn't have the best day.
I think a delay shortened his
Okay. Well, I was not a fan of taking Bradish on after the elbow injury in the preseason. It's just too much risk for me, but his last couple starts look promising. I could be eating my own words on that one. I'm going to be sad when Garrett Crochet gets shut down. Yeah, Crochet, his career high in innings is 52. So that was in the major leagues 3 years ago. If he get 100 innings out of Crochet, that's great. I don't see him going beyond that, though, because they got nothing to play for, and that's a growth season for Crochet to go from 50 to 100 innings, and that probably will be the case. He won't be there for some of you guys who play in head-to-head leagues, who need players for the playoffs. Crochet might not be there when you need him most.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, if you're in a keeper league, you got to love what you're seeing out of him. But I agree. They have no incentive to keep him playing. Like, it would be honestly completely foolish for the White Sox to do so.
Well, they are foolish, so that actually checks out. How about that? Thanks, everybody, for being here in the live chat. We've had a good time. Real quick, I want to mention Tout Wars before we wrapped up. We didn't talk about that. So in Tout Wars, you're definitely playing much better than I am. I'm like dead last in the league. Even Nick Pollock's beating me. I'm very disappointed about that, but I've got to live with it, and that's just how life goes. You, meanwhile, Frank, are 8-6 in fifth place, with our defending champ Greg Jewett leading the pack at 11-3. Remember, this is head-to-head, 12 team points.
Yeah, my team started to roll. One of the things that I splurged on was someone, I'm assuming, rage dropped Garrett Crochet when he had that rough patch. And I just splurged on him, and he's been rolling for me.
This is your squad right here, for those watching live.
Yeah, I got Sia Suzuki back. Jordan Westberg has been huge. Like, I didn't expect this. Just had Rhys Hoskins go on IL, so I just did a cheap pickup, Mark Kanya. Nothing special there. Got to replace Eloy. But, hey, loving that my staff. I got Glasnow. I got Dylan Cease.
Crochet.
Carlos Rodon. Some of these players here listed have already been dropped, like AJ Puck. So just to,
Paddock, dude. You lost Paddock.
Let the reader, the listeners know that, hey, I'm not holding on to AJ Puck. It just shows shows players you've dropped for some reason.
It does. It's very on Roto, an all-encompassing website, thorough, very thorough. So that's Frank's team. He's also got at pitching, he's got Mike King and Eric Fetty, who obviously his last start wasn't great, but Fetty's been a guy that I like, man. He's been producing, and he'll probably get dealt to a contender sooner than later after the White Sox ship him out. So I like it.
Yeah, good innings eater. He's been nice. I liked him coming over from the KBO. He was great. He reinvented himself, Fetty, that is. So it's nice to him. It's nice to see him look pretty good so far.
Hell yes, friend. Well, congratulations. You're the better man. You're the better player this year. You win Tout Wars over me, and that's just how it goes. I'll be back though next year, and the show will be back soon. That's going to be it, Frank.
It was a pleasure as always. Thank you, Mike. Always love talking fantasy baseball. For the listeners, you could check out fantasy stuff at the Game Day Closer Rankings, waiver wire pickups, and I also will put out some content if you're into betting or even fantasy as well on Twitter.
Yep.
Look forward to interacting with you, Mike. It's been it's been awesome.
So I'm very glad we did this, and Frank does know a lot about betting. So if you're interested in prop bets and baseball, football, I mean, this guy knows his stuff. He really does. He's working and grinding every day. There's a lot that Frank can do for you folks. So please give him a follow on Twitter X, FM Arante. That's two M's, TFJ, FM Arante, TFJ. I'm at MJ Govier, Palazzo Podcast, two L's.
Give me two.
Z's. Everybody in the live chat, thanks for participating. You can now hang up the phones. No more picking them
up. Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Yeah, we're done. No more phones. been fun, dude. And I hope you guys enjoyed the Reddit Doom Scroll. You learned a thing or two from me and Frank. For Frank Amirante, I'm Michael Govier. We will be back Thursday. I got another show, I think. And then Friday, of course, me, Britton, and Mike Virginia doing our thing that we do every Friday. Until then, keep it real.
Sure.
Right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. Topman, your handling of the sheets to be lubberly and unnavy-like. Until the signal calls you to spill the wind from our sails. This will bring us almost to a complete stop. Gun crews, you must run out and tie down and double quick time. With the rear wheels removed, we've gained elevation. But without recoil, there'll be no chance to reload. So gun captains, that gives you one shot from the larboard battery. One shot only. You'll fire for her mainmast. Much will depend on your accuracy. However, even crippled, she will still be dangerous. Like a wounded beast. Captain Howard and the Marines will sweep their weather deck with swivel gun and musket fire from the tops. They'll try and even the odds for us before we board. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun, quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.